Okay, hallelujah. So again, this is part two. Why do we call it battle lines? Because there is a battle going on, even, you know, in some congregations denying the deity of Messiah Yeshua. So we know we need to know what the word of God says and stand on what the word says and not be, again, confusion come in or doubt and unbelief come in because of what people say. Because no matter what somebody is teaching you, it has to be in line with the word of God. And again, that's why we give a lot of scriptures. And again, this was just something that the Ruach put on my heart, and we've been, you know, we shared it last week, and it's a little bit of a review today over last week before we get into, again, the chart of scriptures that I put together, which are, again, something that you could like meditate on, share with others as well regarding the deity of Messiah Yeshua. And this was something that even the religious leaders struggled with in Yeshua's time. The Tanakh, again, anticipates the coming of a Messiah who is himself eternal, having the attributes of the Almighty, and who accomplishes what only God can do. The apostolic scriptures, including the witness of Yeshua himself, affirm the eternal divine nature of Messiah Yeshua. If we deny the deity of Messiah, we stand against the uniform witness of the scriptures. We do not pretend to fully understand this mystery, but we affirm it. Why? Because it is in the word. Again, I sent you some articles last week on the Hebrew mindset versus the Greek mindset. And if you haven't read them, you need to read them because it goes in a lot more detail than actually what I shared last week or I'm sharing now. Yeshua, you know, this thought came to me as well that Yeshua said, he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The scriptures affirm the eternality of the Father, the Messiah, and the Ruach HaKodesh. The Spirit of God is constantly spoken of as giving divine revelation to the prophets. Yet Paul affirms that the scriptures are God-breathed. Again, God breathed that revelation into the prophets so they could write down his revelation, his will for mankind. And, you know, I think sometimes we take our scriptures for granted. We take, you know, the Bible that we're able to have for granted, where so many people in countries aren't even allowed to have a Bible or even have it in their own language. Again, we have the words of the prophets who tell us about the coming of Messiah and also the return of Messiah. We have, again, the Torah that shows God's plan for his people to be a set apart and holy people and how to live a holy set apart life unto him. And a lot of people are deceived is because they don't study the scriptures. They just listen to what somebody says and they don't study the scriptures for themselves. And again, I'll said this once and I'll say it 100 times. I've heard people tell me, well, I just follow the quote prophets. And I'm not talking about the biblical prophets. I'm talking about every person that calls themselves a prophet. And I tell, you know, I tell them back, you better be following the word of God first so you know to discern between who is a false prophet and who is a true prophet. Yeah, we see that Peter equates the Spirit with God in Acts 5:3. I'm just going to read that from the scriptures. Let's look at Acts 5:3 really quick. Again, this is a review from part of what I shared last week, but I wanted to, again, share it as a segue into the scriptures we're going to be looking at. Acts 5, verse 3. Here again, this is the in context, this is a situation with Ananias and Sapphira. And here again, they agreed together to lie regarding what they were going to donate. And here Peter says to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Ruach HaKodesh and keep some of the price of the land? Again, equating the Ruach HaKodesh with the Spirit of God. And he goes on to say that, you know, he was lying to God himself by trying to cover this up. We see that the Father, Messiah, Yeshua, and the Spirit, or Ruach, are all accredited as being the creator. I just want to pull up the scriptures here so we can look at them together. First is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, this is Tree of Life version, God created the heavens and the earth. So here we see God, or Elohim, in the Hebrew, was the creator of the heavens and the earth. Now we'll go to John 1:3. Well, let's begin with 1:1. Here, this is referring to Yeshua. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and all things were made through him. And apart from him, nothing has come into being. So here we see Yeshua was, again, equated with God as creator. Psalm 104. Verse 30. You sent forth your Ruach, speaking of the Ruach HaKodesh, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. So here referring to, again, Yahweh, his Ruach. And then back to Genesis 1:2. Then the earth was chaos and waste. Darkness was on the surface of the deep, and the Ruach Elohim was hovering upon the surface of the water. So here we see as well the Ruach Elohim having a part in creation. And then Job 33, verse 4. The Ruach of God has made me. The breath of Shaddai gives me life. So here equating Ruach with God. The scripture clearly speaks of God as Father, Messiah, Son, Yeshua, and Spirit, Ruach. This is without question. The scriptures do not attempt an explanation of the mystery of the Godhead. Again, the issue comes with the Greek mindset. The need to formulate the Trinity doctrine in the 4th century CE came as a result of the Christian church being captivated by Greek thought. Again, I sent you some articles to read, one by Tim Hegg and one by Nathan Lawrence, that really give a great, you know, detailed explanation of the difference between Greek thinking and Hebrew thinking. Even some of the Jews, they call them the Hellenized Jews, were influenced by Greek thinking as well. The center of Greek philosophy is the issue of, quote, being, what constitutes reality. As the Greek fathers contemplated the mystery of the Godhead, they were not satisfied to hold it as a mystery that it is. Why? Again, these are believers coming out of a Greek thinking, pagan background. They're still stuck in that Greek mindset, haven't learned to think Hebraically as the Hebrews, the Jews, think. The conflicting ideas that the scriptures present did not fit nicely into the Greek theology model. There was a need to understand the, quote, constituent parts of God. Therefore, the Trinity doctrine became a Greek answer to a Greek question. Again, we looked at last week the chart where, again, Greek thinking is very linear, where Hebraic thinking is circular. Hebraic thinking doesn't have a problem with things that they don't understand or things that seem to conflict, you know, in scriptures. Again, the Greek thinking had, well, we have to, you know, make this so it's, you know, our minds understand it. But the Hebraic thinking is understanding that God is God. And again, there is nothing impossible to him or how he manifests himself. Again, we saw last week how God was able to manifest himself pre-Yeshua to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to those that, again, lived during the Tanakh period. For thousands of years, the Hebrew scholars of scripture never felt the need to seek a rational explanation for the mystery of God's being. They lived in the tension of it. That one, God who is invisible yet seen, the God who is wholly other yet dwells among men, the God who himself is the controller of all things yet is approachable, moved by man's needs and receptive to man's cry for help. You know, we see how many times we see in scriptures where God said that he was going to bring judgment, yet he changed his mind. Why? Because of prayer and intercession. He says he repented or changed his mind regarding bringing that judgment. In some ways, the formulation of the Trinity doctrine attempted to unravel the mystery of God himself, and in so doing falls short. Yeshua is described as the same substance as the Father, yet God is revealed as having no substance. The formulation of the Trinity doctrine became the substance of salvation. He, therefore, that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity. In this way, a man-made explanation of the mystery became the primary focus of salvation in the Christian church. Again, that Greek thinking, I mean, really the Greek thought permeates everything. Your colleges, your schools all have that Greek way of thinking and teaching. But when we approach the scriptures, we have to approach them from a Hebraic mindset in the context of how it was taught and presented. The scriptures clearly teach a plurality within the being of God, yet they do not attempt to explain this mystery. We align ourselves with scripture by confessing this mystery to be true, not by accepting a man-made philosophical explanation for the mystery. Again, the Greek thinking is, well, I need to understand it with my mind. I have to formulate an answer for this. Where the Hebraic understanding is, I accept it with my spirit because God is Yahweh Elohim. He is almighty. He doesn't have to explain himself to me. He created us. We didn't create him. So let's look again at some of the scriptures we're going to look at. Again, I made a chart and you have these notes. I'm going to pull it up because I actually printed up all the scriptures so that we could read them. But let me just go back a little bit here. The truth of Yeshua's mysterious nature as Emmanuel, God in the flesh, the scriptures say that, is not a theological thought or axiom, is in an essential reality. Since our sin is against God, and since he is infinitely holy, our sin is likewise an infinite transgression. Only a sacrifice of infinite proportions could atone for an infinite transgression. If Yeshua is not himself infinite, he could never have accomplished atonement for sinners. Again, I've heard, some Messianic congregations that teach that, well, you know, Yeshua was just a man. Well, if he was just a man, then, you know, any man could have accomplished that. But he was not just a man because he was a man without sin. Every man who's ever been born after Adam and Hava sinned was born into sin. The Bible said there is none righteous, no, not one. Yet Yeshua was born without sin, but he took on the suit of a man. He became a man. He experienced everything that we would ever experience, yet without sin. He overcame sin for us. He was pure. He was holy. He was without sin. And only a holy God could atone for his people. If we deny the mystery of Yeshua's deity, we at the same time deny that he could be the promised Messiah who takes away the sins of the world. John 1:19, rather, we must affirm what the scriptures everywhere teach, that God would send his son as Emmanuel, God with us, and that through him, final atonement would be accomplished for all who would believe in him. So let's go over to, again, this chart. Let me close this up so we can see this better. And again, this is something that, this is a great witnessing tool as well, especially for people that try to deny the deity of Yeshua. And we're going to look at, again, what the scriptures say in the Tanakh and in the Brit Hadashah scriptures as well regarding Yahweh and Yeshua. Romans 11, 33 to 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how incomprehensible his ways. For who has known the mind of Adonai, or who has been his counselor? In fact, I think that's a quote. If you read the book of Job, this is brought out in Job. Or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So here we're looking at first the Aleph and the Tav regarding Yahweh and the Aleph and the Tav regarding Yeshua. Isaiah 41:4. Who has performed and done it? Calling forth the generations from the beginning. I, Adonai, am the first and the last. I am he. Isaiah 44:6. Thus says Adonai, Israel's king and his redeemer, Adonai Zevaot, I am the first and the last. There is no God beside me. And one thing's sad about a story I have. At our first conference, we had a woman come. She moved to Israel from here. She was a believer in Messiah. Actually, she's the one who had sent the shofar that Minister Scott blew this morning is from Israel. She actually sent me a shofar from Israel. And when she went to Israel, again, as a messianic believer, she fell into the hands of, again, it's called Jews for Judaism, which really come against the deity of Messiah and him being the Messiah. And from this scripture, she was made to believe that, it says only God can redeem us. Therefore, Yeshua is not the Messiah. And she actually turned away from Messiah. And I hope she came back to him. I haven't heard from her for years, but that's why it's important to look at these scriptures and see again, Yeshua is saying the same thing about himself as Yahweh says about himself. Why? Because they are one. Revelation 1:7-8. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, says Adonai Elohim, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So here, this is speaking of Yeshua as the Almighty, the Alpha and Omega, or the first and the last, as Yahweh spoke. Revelation 1:10 going forward. I was in the Ruach on the day of the Lord, and I heard behind me a loud voice like that of a trumpet saying, write what you see in a scroll and send it to Messiah's seven communities, to Ephesus and to Smyrna, to Pergamum and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden menorot. And in the midst of the menorot, which is plural from menorah, I saw one like a son of man clothed in a robe down to his feet with a golden belt wrapped around his chest. Again, son of man is a messianic term. His head and his hair were white like wool, white like snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was that like of a roar of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came forth a sharp two-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining at full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man, but he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. And in fact, Ezekiel had a similar vision. Let me just find it in Ezekiel. I believe it's in chapter 1. Let me just get to it. Okay, yeah, it's Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 25. And there came a voice from above the expanse that was over their heads. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. Now above the expanse, there was over the heads, there was something resembling a throne, like lapis lazuli in appearance. And on that which resembled a throne high up was a figure with the appearance of a man. Then I noticed from the appearance of his loins and upwards something like glowing metal that looked like fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his loins and downward, I saw something like fire, and there was a radiance around him. As the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so is the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice saying. So here, in fact, you can write that in your notes. This just came to me by, again, the Spirit as I've been teaching. Ezekiel 1, 22 to 28. Again, the same similar vision he had of the glory of God described in Revelation of the glory of Messiah. Revelation 1:18, and the one who lives, I was dead, but look, I am alive forevermore. Moreover, I hold the keys of death and Sheol. Revelation 21:6, then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will freely give from the spring of the water of life. And Revelation 22:13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. Again, Isaiah 41:4, who has performed and done it? Calling forth the generations from the beginning. I, Adonai, am the first and the last. I am he. And again, Isaiah 44:6, thus says Adonai, Israel's king and his redeemer. Yeshua, who's Yeshua? Prophet, king, prophet, priest, king, our redeemer. Adonai Zevaot, I am the first and the last. There is no God besides me. I am that I am, Exodus 3:14. God answered Moshe saying, I am who I am. Then he said, you are to say to B'nai Israel, I am has sent me to you. Isaiah 43:10, you are my witnesses. It is a declaration of Adonai and my servant, who I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, and there will be none after me. Verse 11, I am Adonai, and there is no Savior besides me. John 8:56 to 58. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was thrilled. Then the Judean said to him, you're not even 50 years old and you've seen Abraham? Yeshua answered, amen, amen. I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. And they knew exactly what he meant when he said, I am, referring to himself as I am Adonai, referring to his pre-existence. Because he said, I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. In the beginning was the word. John 8:23, Yeshua said, you are far from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. 24, therefore I told you that you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am. You will die in your sins. Again, referring to I am Adonai. Creator of the universe, Tanakh, regarding Yahweh. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, or Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 2:7, then Adonai, Elohim, formed man out of the dust from the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, so that man became a living being. Psalm 33:6, by Adonai's word were the heavens made, and all their hosts by the breath of his mouth. Again, by Adonai's word, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all their hosts by the breath of his mouth. Malachi 2:10. Do we not all have one Father? Has not one God created us? Isaiah 40:28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Adonai is the eternal God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow tired or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Job 33:4. The Ruach of God has made me. The breath of Shaddai gives me life. New Testament regarding Yeshua. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, a Greek mindset is thinking, well, how can that be? I don't understand how that can be. That's like talking about, you know, more than one God. But again, the Hebraic mindset understands, again, the unity, the echad, the oneness of who God is. John 1:10, he was in the world and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. Again, equating him with being creator. Ephesians 3:9, and to bring light to the plan of the mystery, which for ages was hidden in God who created all things. Again, the mystery of Messiah, again, was hidden in God. Again, Messiah is the Word that was hidden and then revealed. Revelation 4:8, going forward. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes all around and within. They do not rest day or night, chanting, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Elohai Zevaot, Asher Hayah V'Hovei V'Yavo. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts, who was and who is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one seated on the throne who lives forever and ever. Again, this is referring to Yeshua. The 24 elders fell down before the one seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they throw their crowns down before the throne, chanting, Worthy are you, Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us, there is one God, the Father, for whom are all things, and we exist for him. And one Lord, Yeshua the Messiah, through whom are all things, and we exist through him. John 1:17, Torah was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Yeshua the Messiah. Again, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the Word from the very beginning. John 1:18, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only God, the Father's embrace, has made him known. How did he make him known? Through Yeshua, the Messiah. Again, we looked at last week's notes. We looked at all the different instances where God appeared to man. The shepherd that gathers, Jeremiah 23:3. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their folds, and they will be fruitful and multiply. Again, referring to Yahweh as a shepherd. Psalm 80:15-20. Elohe Zevaot, please return. Look down from heaven and see. Now take care of this vine, the shoot, your right hand planted, the son you strengthened for yourself. Again, your right hand is always referring to Mashiach, the son you strengthened for yourself. Again, I believe that's a reference to Mashiach. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish from the rebuke of your face. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, the son of man you made strong for yourself. Again, I believe it's a messianic reference. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Adonai Elohi Zevaot. Restore us, make your face shine, and we will be saved. Isaiah 54:7-8. For a brief moment I deserted you, but I will regather you with great compassion. In a surge of anger I hid my face from you a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have compassion on you, says Adonai, your Redeemer. So here this is referring to Adonai as our Redeemer and also as the Shepherd. that gathers his people. The shepherd that gathers, Yeshua, 1 Peter 2:25. For you like sheep were going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. John 10:1-2. Amen, amen, I tell you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Again, Yeshua referring to himself as the shepherd. John 10:3. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. The shepherd calls his own name by sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger, but will run away from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Yeshua told them this parable, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So Yeshua said again, amen, amen, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep, and all those who came before me are thieves and robbers, referring to false messiahs, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone comes in through me, he will be saved. He will come and go and find pasture. Again, referring to him, again, as the shepherd who has control over the gate, who's the one who, the true shepherd, walks over his sheep, and his sheep know his voice, and Yeshua is the one that gathers him, just as the way Yahweh says that he will gather his remnant as a shepherd. 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, slaughter, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired worker is not the shepherd, and the sheep are not his own. He sees the wolf coming and abandons the sheep and flees. Then the wolf snatches and scatters the sheep. The man is only a hired hand and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Another reference, Psalm 23, that just came to me regarding to Yahweh, Rohi, Yahweh, the good shepherd. So you may want to stick that in with your notes as well there. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not from this fold. Those also I must lead. They will listen to my voice, so there shall be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it away from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Hebrews 13:20. Now may the God of Shalom, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the everlasting covenant, our Lord Yeshua, make you complete in every good thing to do his will, accomplishing in us what is pleasing in his sight through Messiah Yeshua. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And again, there's a protocol in prayer when we come before the Lord. Yeshua said, you have not, before his resurrection, you have not asked anything in my name. But again, referring to the resurrection going forward, we would come before the Father and ask in the name of Yeshua. When you prayed in the name of someone, you prayed in their power and their authority. So again, the rabbis would pray in the name of so-and-so rabbi, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But these were just, you know, human beings with faults and failures like us all. But Yeshua is, again, the perfect name, the name above all names. And we pray in his name, we are praying in his authority, his power, and his holiness. The Redeemer, Savior. Again, the Tanakh speaks of Yahweh as Redeemer and Savior. The Brit Hadashah speaks of Yeshua as Redeemer and Savior. Isaiah 44:24. Thus says Adonai, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am Adonai, maker of all things, stretching out the heavens alone, spreading the earth abroad by myself. Isaiah 40:28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Adonai is the eternal God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow tired or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Isaiah 45:11. Thus says Adonai, the Holy One of Israel and its maker, ask me about the things to come upon my children. Then you'll commit to me the work of my hands. Isaiah 45:12-13-14. I made the earth and created man on it. My hands stretched out the heavens and I commanded all their host. I stirred Cyrus up in righteousness and will level all his roads. He will build my city and set my exiles free with no price or bribe, says Adonai Zevaot. Thus says Adonai, Egypt's toil, Ethiopia's merchandise, and the tall Sabaeans will come over to you and be yours. They will walk behind you in chains. They will bow down to you and pray, saying, surely God is with you. There is none else, no other God. Truly you are a God who hides himself, O God of Israel, Savior. All of them will be ashamed, disgraced, idol makers go in dishonor together. Israel has been saved by Adonai with an everlasting salvation. You will not be put to shame or disgraced forever and ever. For thus says Adonai, he is God who fashioned the heavens, who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it desolate, but formed it to be inhabited. I am Adonai, there is no other. Isaiah 43:11-12. I am Adonai, and there is no savior besides me. I alone declared, saved, proclaimed, and not some foreign God among you. So you are my witnesses. It is a declaration, and I am God. And Isaiah 35:4, say to those with anxious heart, be strong, have no fear. Behold, your God, vengeance is coming. God's recompense, it is coming. Then he will save you. Going back to, again, the Brit Hadashah regarding Yeshua, Revelation 5:9. And they are singing a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you redeemed for God those from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Again, Yahweh is Redeemer. Yeshua is the one who redeems. Luke 2:10-11. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim good news to you, which will be great joy to all the people. A Savior is born to you today in the city of David, who is Messiah, the Lord. Again, Tanakh, Yahweh refers himself as the Savior. John 4:42, they kept telling the woman, it's no longer because of your words that we believe. We've heard for ourselves. Now we know that this really is the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. There's also just a few scriptures regarding God's relationship as husband to Israel and Yeshua's relationship as husband to his bride. Isaiah 54:5-6, for your maker is your husband, Adonai Zevaot is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He will be called God of all the earth. For Adonai has called you back like a wife deserted and grieved in spirit, like a wife of one's youth that is rejected, says your God. Then Ephesians 5:23, again, this is an example of Yeshua being the husband to his bride. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Messiah also is head of his community, referring to that husband-wife relationship over his body, himself the savior of the body. And then last, two more, regarding the lawgiver, in the Tanakh referring to Yahweh the lawgiver, Exodus 26, but showing loving kindness to the thousands of generations of those who love me and keep my mitzvot or commandments. Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore that Adonai your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant kindness for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his mitzvot or commandments. Yaakov 4:12, this is just the first part. When you see a letter, that's just the first part. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy, referring to Yeshua. John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, or bringing it back to the Hebrew, my mitzvot. Again, notice plural commandments. And then last, referred to as the rock, Numbers 20:8. Take the staff and gather the assembly, you and your brother Aaron. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will give out its water. You will bring out water from the rock, and you will give the community something to drink along with their livestock. Psalm 18:3, again, the key, the rock. Adonai is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock. In him I take refuge, my shield, my horn of salvation, my stronghold. Isaiah 28:16, therefore, thus says Adonai Elohim, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone, a firm foundation. Whoever trusts will not flee in haste. And then the rock, Yeshua, 1 Corinthians 10:4, and all drank the same spiritual rock, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock that followed them. The rock was Messiah. Again, referring back to the Torah, Acts 4:11, this Yeshua is the stone rejected by you, the builders, that has become the chief cornerstone. And then last, 1 Peter 2:6, for it says in scripture, behold, I lay in Zion or Zion a stone, a chosen precious cornerstone. Whoever trusts in him will never be put to shame. Hallelujah. That's only, again, some of the scriptures. There's a lot more, but here we see, again, proven by scriptures that Yeshua and Yahweh are Echad, one. Again, is it possible to understand this with the mind, with a Greek mindset? No, it's not. It has to be understood by the Ruach and the Spirit that he is Yahweh Elohim. There is nothing impossible to him. Again, he is Yahweh. He's been here for eternity. I mean, that's a mind boggler. He's always been here. He is the creator of the universe who chose, again, to send his spirit into a man, Yeshua, to become the Redeemer, Yahweh in the flesh, the pre-existent Word of God, the one that was there creating the world with Yahweh Elohim, the Ruach HaKodesh, to take upon our sins, to redeem us. Could only Yahweh can redeem us. We see that all through scriptures. He is the only one that can save. He is the only redeemer. Who is the only one that can save? Who is the only redeemer? Yeshua, the Messiah. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. Again, he is that gate. We have to go through him to enter into the Holy of Holies. There is no other way. Don't allow people to lie to you and try to convince you that Yeshua is not Yahweh in the flesh. Again, I gave you scripture and scriptures. You know, Yeshua, again, attested to his deity. And even some of the Greek, the Jewish leadership stumbled over that. They didn't understand that, again, in their mind, but it's all through scriptures. And again, God doesn't have to explain himself every simple detail. He expects us to be men and women of faith who accept his word by faith, who accept the fact that he is Yahweh. We are, again, he created us in the beginning to be his children, to rule and reign on this earth. And even though Adam and Hava blew it in the beginning, God made a way that he promised immediately to send a redeemer. Who's that redeemer coming from? Heaven itself, to save his people and redeem his people, those who put their faith and trust in Yeshua, the Messiah. Again, there is no other way. There is no other way to be saved except through him. And that's through in the scriptures. Alvina McCain, our Father, our King, Father, we thank you for your holy word. Father, I thank you, Father, that you said not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge you, Father. And you, Father, will bring us help. You will bring us rest. You will bring us understanding and wisdom. It's Father. And Father, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith in your word and your understanding and your wisdom through the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of Yahweh that you sent, that Yeshua said, I would send another comforter, again, who would come alongside and help you and give you that wisdom and give you that understanding. We thank you for that promise that those of us, Father, who are born again, have received your spirit. We are a new creation in Messiah Yeshua. We have the very wisdom of Elohim Yahweh living within us, the gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh within us, Father, that you have given us, Father. And again, these things are by faith. We receive it by faith, not by our own understanding, but because your word says so. We thank you, Father, that your gifts operate in through us when we need them, Father, at the proper exact time. Father, I just thank you that we rejoice in you and all that you have for us, Father. What a privilege to be called your children. What a privilege that Messiah would choose us, that he would lay down his life for us and call us his very own, his bride. Father, I thank you that we continue to be Talmudim, Father, your disciples, and that we are bold for you, Father, that we are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Yeshua said, greater things will we do, Father, may we, Father, do those greater things for the kingdom, for your kingdom and your glory, not to make a name for ourselves, but for your kingdom and your glory, and to bring people to salvation, that they would come to know that free salvation is there for them to receive the forgiveness of sins, healing, deliverance, a new life in you, Father. For you said, if any man be a Messiah, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. And behold, all has become new. And even though the enemy would try to tell us lies in our mind and bring up our past sins, he is a liar, because all those sins are under the blood of Yeshua, and we are new creations and we belong to you. Father, may we continue to grow in your wisdom and your knowledge and in obedience to you, Father, in all that you have called us to do. May you always be first place in our lives and our hearts, Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Hallelujah.